Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
All right. So this is Carl Fidini. This is the Walk and Talk podcast. Today, we are doing something special. We are at Sally Marr Rooftop Bar in Midtown Tampa. I have some guests. It's crazy. First time. It's awesome. Very excited. With us today, I have our host, Chef Jonathan Rodriguez.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you. And then, of course, I have... And by the way, Chef Jonathan, I'm going to say hermano, right?
That's about it.
Okay. And then I'm the Goyim brother of Chef Jeffrey Schleschel.
Yep, you got it.
I'm so terrible with that.
It's
I'm
okay. Like, it rhymes with whistle.
Yep. Whistle.
Yep.
Also on the phone, we have a call-in who's already on standby, and I want to make sure that everybody knows who it is. It's Chef Amy Sins out of New Orleans. Thank you. And I want to thank everybody for like taking part of this. This is really awesome. Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
So, Amy, you there?
I am here. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. So the first thing I want to do is I kind of want, you know, listen, Jonathan, Chef Jonathan, really appreciate it. We commandeered the whole dining room.
But, yes, we
do. You know, those who are watching the video, you can see it's like the whole place is kind of ours. Thank you for that.
It's my pleasure, man.
All right. Chef, tell me what you got going on right now.
So what we got going on is that Sally Marr has went to a different route as far as what we want to do for experience. For us, we definitely are changing a lot going as far as brunches. Brunches is where we want to kind of stick to for the Saturday and Sundays. Due to the fact that we're in Midtown Tampa, it's not a lot going on in this area. It's on the western side of Tampa, so it's still growing, right? We're surrounded by a whole bunch of, you know, buildings and novel, you know, living units, and it's pretty cool because we have almost like that Midtown city life. So we try to give a difference to it. So right now we're putting in different music. We have live music going on the weekends, Fridays and Saturdays. We're going to, like I said, we're going to host brunch. We got lunch going. You know, we're trying to really kick it off and get the party going on the rooftop.
Well, what's your favorite night? Is it Latin night?
So Latin night is one of my favorite nights. We have the Cuban Sons to come in and play the bongos. And, you know, they kill it, man. It just, you know, it brings that beautiful Miami flair into Midtown. So I just love it, you know. You know, they really enhance the environment and make Salimar for what it is. But, you know, we can't forget those DJs, man. Those DJs that work so hard, you know, in Tampa, and they're really growing as DJs, and want to get them into, you know, be in their first show or showcase them. You know, we got people like DJ Block, that he's in Tampa, hardcore, and, you know, a couple other DJs that we're trying to put into play. But this is the spot that we really want to engage, you know, those more Midtown adventures and make sure people can come have fun.
And real quick, too, so you were out of town last week, right? Yeah. You were where?
I was in Indiana, man. So, you know, I belong to a phenomenal management group called Schulte Hospitality, and we own about 174 properties that we manage, and it's phenomenal, man. It's a property that doesn't stop growing. Their management team is just, they don't ever see like an end number. They just want to keep growing, keep growing. So they are actually took over the Indy Hotel, beautiful, near the monument in downtown Indiana, Appalus, and you know, it was a really cool adventure to go to. I went with my team, my bar supervisor, my trainer, for server, and, you know, we got to go into the hotel and see for what it was, you know, and flip it, you know, and that's kind of what I do. I go into properties and see for where the needs are, flip it, engage into the property with the changes that need to be made, make the property revenue and make it worth money, and, you know, go from there. History is made off from there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, man, congratulations on the path that you're on right now. I know it's something you've been waiting on a while. So, you know, God bless for that. Jeffrey.
Yes, sir.
So, or shall I say Chef Jeffrey. So we're connected by a mutual friend, Coco, over at Corn.
Yep.
And I want to thank her on this podcast for, you know, linking us up. You're a cool cat, man, and you do a lot of great things.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that that Jeff does, he brings a lot of awareness to our industry. You know, one of the things we linked up on real fast was, you know, because I'm very, very forward on, you know, mental health issues and substance abuse challenges in the food world, in our industry. And that doesn't just mean chefs. I mean, you're talking about salespeople, warehouse personnel, like everybody. It's the whole thing.
Community, right?
Correct. So we really link on that a lot. I know you do a lot of things with it. Why don't you do a quick intro on who you are?
Sure. So my name is Jeffrey Schlissel. I'm the owner and chef proprietor of the Bacon Cartel. I'm also a mental health advocate and recently now a farmer advocate. We moved over here last year in reference to my sister-in-law passed away from COVID, and we wanted to be closer to my brother-in-law and help raise the kids. And it gave me an option. You know, most people you look at when you have something going on and you're building a company you just started last year, which I was, and, you know, I was approached, hey, we need to move. You know, what do you do? And I could look at it one of two ways. I could look at it as a positive or a negative. And I chose to choose that positive because it was an opportunity to come over to choose a different lifestyle from Miami and being on the East Coast to coming over here. I think more importantly for me, I looked at it as a change. And what we're going to do is going to be opening a butcher shop / market that's going to be only locally sourced from farmers. Hence, that's the reason why I became a farmer advocate. Is I didn't realize, being naive city guy, right? That's what most chefs are. Yeah, we're mostly naive to what's going on. I would ask the farmers, and when I was asking them, what, you know, being that naive person, I thought their questions or would be their answers would be, I fear vermin. No, it was losing their property, you losing their land. And I thought, wow, that's really huge. And I just gained momentum. And I think one of the things of, also I was the, thank God, I'm the past president of the local chapter of the Palm Beach Chefs Association, which is part of the American Culinary Federation. And those guys, we, for the last 4 years of my term, the two terms I did, we've raised, almost over $80,000 for either hurricane relief or the Ukraine relief as well for the World Central Kitchen. Mm-hmm. You know, recently, as we all know, with this Hurricane Ian coming through, my focus has shifted to being more local. And that's one of the reasons why my great friend, Amy Sins, who's on the phone right now, she has this wonderful organization called Fill the Needs. And I partnered with her and 12 other different chefs as well. So we're going to talk about that as well.
Well, yeah. So, and that's, so I forgive me, Chef Amy. I didn't know you before, but I am on your Facebook thread now. And I'm really excited to work with you and the rest of the chefs and the rest of the farmers and everybody to try to help the gang down in Southwest. I mean, and that's really what the genesis of this podcast is today is that. Amy, can you talk a little bit about your 501(c) and what you have going on and what we're, you know, between you and Jeff, if you can kind of touch on what we're doing with our event and you know, where we're going with it.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Absolutely. I kind of giggled whenever you said chef. All
I know, it's crazy.
And we're all being polite with our very brief pause before we respond. Sure, we're the right chef you're asking.
At least you're not throwing a six pan at me or something. You know, it's okay.
he says chef, but he looks right in my eyes.
It's for different reasons.
Oh, God. You're starting. Oh, no.
So my organization is called Fill the Needs. I have been doing disaster relief since 2007. My home was actually on the levee break of the 17th Street Canal during Hurricane Katrina. So if you watched any of that video footage, that helicopter with the tiny sandbags, they were dropping those sandbags in my backyard. And a group I had never met showed up and volunteered to help us. And that one moment was the moment I decided I will pay this forward for as long as I can, because strangers doing things for others and, you know, helping make someone's life during a very traumatic crisis better is something I can really get behind. So since 2007, I've been managing major disaster relief efforts. In 2016, we did over 100,000 meals in 19 days for the flooding throughout South Louisiana. Each mission, we get more efficient. And in November, we actually switched from Rogooder to an actual nonprofit. Okay. So I realized that I couldn't believe that people were giving me 18 wheelers of supplies just to Amy Sins, and no one cared that I was not really a group to make that shift. So we're still focused on the same mission. We just are now.
What makes it really great is the fact that, you know, it's friend connect to another friend, connect to another friend. It's a network, right? Because, you know, again, I met Jeff through Coco, right? Which is a mutual friend of ours implicitly. So up with, and we're doing things. And, you know, now Jeffrey, you know, hooks up you know, Amy Sins and Carl Fiadini, and now we're hooking up with, you know, John. So, you know, at the end of the day, the network is growing, but it's growing through something that is a little bit stronger than just like, you know, something you came across on Host or something like that. It's definitely deeper. And I think that's where a lot of the fire is going to come from. Not, you know what I mean? So between, between everybody's, you know, reach on social media, but we're all speaking the same thing and we're all focused on the same goal. In this case is Southwest Florida. I mean, yeah, I think we're going to do some damage.
She's really being humble because she forgot about one instance really quick. And I don't know if you guys know this, but when the Afghanistan government fell, your organization, Chef Amy, what did you do?
We immediately began evacuations and keeping families safe and working to reunite families. And there was one family in particular that was separated before Afghanistan fell. The husband was out of town on business and his flight was canceled and he could not fly back into the country. And his wife and two little girls were alone in a chaotic environment. And we were able to help keep them safe, navigate them. And the entire family was reunited in Germany on Father's Day. So it took almost a year, but
How do you even?
You have an exceptional person like Amy Sins at the helm.
Well, sure. Yeah. Well, clearly,
his last name is Angel. I just want you guys to understand that. Yeah. And whoever's listening to this, I really want you guys to understand
that. Chef Jonathan, by the way.
Chef Jonathan, I apologize. But this is absolutely beautiful because people think that chefs are just people that cook in the kitchen and not realize that we definitely touch all areas. And like Jeff was saying, you know, we look at the front lines of people and, you know, us chefs, you know, just look what Amy's doing, look what Jeffrey's doing, you know, what I even do, what you do, Carl. And it just comes from a different world mindset when you're thinking like, okay, I go to culinary school to be a chef, but I understand that the biggest thing we do is love and care and compassion to everyone, right?
Yeah. And I think I've have this quote that the restaurant is the soul of the community. Community and the chef is the heart of that community, right? Or that soul of the restaurant. Facts. And really facts. But, you know, you look at this butterfly effect of what we do, and I'll give a for instance, here's a story from yesterday. Amy sent me a text. She goes, do you have Mercy chefs are feeding 26,000 meals a day, correct, Amy?
That is correct.
Right. So 26,000 meals a day in Southwest Florida right now. Meanwhile, there's no electricity. Right. I mean, these guys are working in the hands and gloves and sanitation and towels. And I put a word out. I called, you know, my old bosses and stuff like that and see if I could get some stuff, but they were stuck in Miami. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I'm 2 hours away. And lo and behold, this chef from the ACF, his name is Christopher Julie. He actually called me up. Now this is the guy that literally went through the hurricane himself in Bonita Springs. Part of his country club was washed away. Not only that, he goes to me as I called up to find out if he was okay. He's like, well, I'm okay. I just have survivor's guilt. And I went through it. And that was the end of it. He goes, but I went into work. I found out the guy who mans my dishwashing machine, his entire house was washed out to sea. And you sit there and you hear these stories. And, you know, it's now very close to home because he's like a brother to me. And then to have him call me up, what do you need? I was dumbfounded. I literally was speechless. And I said, well, a box of foil pans. And I went through the list. He goes, I'm walking around the club right now, and I'm just going to run it over to him. And I thought later on tonight, right then and there, took pictures and drove that stuff over to the chefs that were Mercy Chef over in that church. And people don't realize there are so many people like Amy, like Christopher, that go under the radar, that do these exceptional things for people that are really the heroes besides those first responders that are doing these things. And that I just have to
commend.
Yeah. Commend. Not only that, I got to scream on top of Mount Everest and say that these are incredible.
I mean,
that's,
brass. Sure.
Yeah.
And you know what? And we need more of that. We need more of that. Well, you know what? My opinion is this. I think it's out there and I think it's all over the place. I just don't think you hear about it.
No, and I think we have a different rap. Chefs have a different rap because we are ornery, we are egotistical, we definitely have our mindsets, and we definitely have our OCDs. But I don't, and when I'm talking people outside looking in, I'm not talking about restaurant people, because we all get it. We all jive. We all come from the, we're all out there that have never been in the restaurant industry under for the community.
No clue.
No.
Well, they don't even, Amy, one second. They don't even understand what you do in the kitchen, let alone the indoor 15-hour shift, let alone the community. You know what I mean? Like, forget, you know, a restaurant, you know, people like Amy, what she's doing with her 513C. They don't understand what it takes to get your belly full. And
it's funny because, you know, and Chef Jonathan will probably agree with me this. It's, we do things for the community because we need to do things. Because food for us is a love. It's a passion.
That's absolutely true.
And one of the, we have a group of that I'm on we'll get to the event that we're going to be. We have a new group that's been literally, it's so funny. It's called the Hospitality Unite Group. It's called HUG for short. And we were on this feed, and we're trying to figure out what we need to do to help these victims, not only the victims of restaurant people, and also the farmers. Because, you know, like I said, we have a farmer that lost 2 heads of cattle.
Right.
It's huge.
200 heads, yeah.
200 heads.
Yeah, that was Dakin Dairy over here in West Coast.
In Arcadia.
Yeah.
So, you know, imagine you go
that's
out.
A business upside down immediately.
Exactly. Contacted them. Carl contacted them. They're actually listing on Monday. So here's a farmer that's giving back to his community. He's gone through a whirlwind of poop, and he's now giving back to his community. And he's still doing that as a family unit. But here's chefs from, like, West Virginia all the way down to Key West. We've been talking and trying to figure out what we can do for the biggest bang to help the biggest amount of people. I got Chef Troy Schiller, Jim Frici, Adam Brown, Angelo. I'm sorry for killing anybody's name. I should know this because my last name's Schlissel. But Angelo Abrodello, these chefs have all gathered around that want to do an event. And we're looking for, like, November 14th to the 20th for restaurants and poppers and whoever else is hotel people, whoever wants to donate part of the proceeds that week that they generate in revenue, go towards Amy's, not only Amy's, but 213C called Sharing Our Strengths, Chefs Helping Chefs.org. Well, that's where the money's going to go to, and then we're going to distribute to Amy's charitable, who's an excellent dude, where we're going to do some stuff with him.
Marvin, there's a farm here in Odessa, in Tampa, and it's called Cahaba Clubs. And Marvin is a genuinely beautiful human being. He's one of the nicest people I have ever encountered. I've known him since probably, I don't know, maybe 15 years plus, something like that. And this is a cat, like, dog. When my son was born, you know, we couldn't have my dog, okay? Like, I love my dog. And he took him. He took him in on the farm. Like, it was amazing. Anyway, the guy's a beautiful human being. And, you know, when he saw, so when the hurricane was going through and I noticed that, like, hey, Tampa, we're up in Tampa, and I saw that we were avoiding a catastrophe.
Huge.
Right. And I'm just like, oh, my God, I do, right? Because I'm nobody.
That's what we probably said, too.
Right? And I strung together a graphic, and I put it out on the social media. And basically it said, hey, look, if anybody needs help putting a GoFundMe page together, and I'll promote it on my channels and, you know, whatever, you know, I'll do that. So a friend of mine, his name is Chef Peter Curry up in Louisiana, he reached out and said, hey, man, one of my and he's a good friend of mine, too. And he's like, hey, a good friend of mine. We went to culinary school together, you know, way back when. He's a mushroom grower now. And Strophoria. And he's like, do you think you would, you know, do something there? And I, yeah, for sure. So I put a thing together, GoFundMe, and I put it out there. We're sitting at about $1,000, which is really cool. It's only been barely a week. I wasn't expecting really anything to come from that. Marvin, he sees this, and he calls me. He says, hey, man. He goes, hey, let's do a thing. He has a beautiful property.
Very.
Event space. The whole nine yards. It just turns out that before the hurricane, and it's a gorgeous, gorgeous place. Long and short, Marvin reaches out. He says, hey, I want to get in touch with investment bankers, you know, all of the people who support the farm, you know, distributors. I want to do a whole big thing, and let's get these people money. Let's get them food. Let's do something. And I knew Jeffrey, you were already out there kind of putting, yep, you know, on your side. So I said, Dan, let's link this up. So to one of the events that we're going to have it at Cahaba Club. And we're going to do, you know, at the end of the day, the money's got to go, and the supplies and everything, it's going to go to where it needs to go. And man, that's the biggest effing deal. I'm tired of like the, I don't want to say it, but like, I'm just tired of how some of these charities, like, it's 10 cents on the dollar goes to where it's supposed to go. You know, look, that's great. We want to get the money where it's got to go.
Pure charity. Yeah. Let's give real charity, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like for our company, like, and for the world of food and beverage, we never worry about a dime in our pocket when it comes to giving it to anybody. It's a family. I think we're the biggest family culture out there. And I say that strongly because I can literally go to any restaurant and get the same love.
How many times have you fed a homeless guy? Do you know what I'm saying?
That's like, 100%. Yeah.
Like seriously, like, you like
taking money out of your own pocket just to give
to feed. Them. Right. That's my point. Yep. That's my point. And I think a lot of people forget that. And that's also what the average non, you know, restaurant or food service person, they have no clue about that. You know, because that comes right out of the bottom line. You know what I mean? You're helping people.
But
go ahead, Amy.
You know, like what he's saying, you know, we're helping people every day. And earlier you commented about, you know, love and care and compassion, and that is the soul of a chef. And, you know, people will ask me, well, how did you know how to do what you did in 2016? How did you know how to get people out of Afghanistan or to get supplies in Ukraine? Y'all, it's the same formula of leadership. You know, what we do as chefs, we are disciplined. We understand the brigade system. We know how to communicate. We're a little bit creative at times. We certainly all know how to navigate bureaucracy if we've worked in any large organizations. But, you know, we as chefs have skill sets that help us to be leaders and make us the leaders that we are. But it's not what we're thinking of every day, because we're thinking about, you know, the food, the plate, the love, the ingredients. But there's so much more that goes into even creating that process and that meal.
You know, it's right on the nose.
Amy, so what you consider is a diamond, because we're used to pressure. And the more pressure we keep pressuring, it's the most beautiful diamond. So, Amy, you're a diamond. Jeff, you're a diamond. I mean, everybody's a diamond.
I don't think people there's extraordinary people, and then there's just incredible people. Yeah. And you know, Christopher and Tim Reicher and a couple of these guys and Rocco Paradiso that have actually gone through the hell that they've gone through, and what those people are going down there that are still going through. I mean, I was triggered when I saw all those boats smashed up, because I'm actually a survivor of Hurricane Andrew in 92. So you have these people that, like Amy, she doesn't have to do any of this. She can just stay in her wheelhouse and do things there. But you heard her at the beginning. It's her wheelhouse because somebody, strangers, came to her aid. And this is exactly like when I started doing this for Ian, and knowing that we were not going to get hit, I picked up the phone and started calling people and saying, what are we doing? And it's because I felt probably just as much as you, Chef Jonathan, and you, Carl, is what can I do? Because you know what? We're damn skippy lucky that this didn't hit us.
Oh, for sure. And it just gets scared, because think about the people. We had the opportunity to evacuate.
Yeah.
But those people didn't. And right. It was really breath sap when I saw Cape Coral. I mean, I had friends in Cape Coral, and, you know, that area got really bad for Myers. I mean, it's just a lot of things are just not of the chances of making that turn, of making that rash decision, like, oh my gosh, we're going to be in good settings. And the way that this hurricane just impacted and just smacked us right in Florida, in an area that nobody was ready for.
Right. I think and I love the mayor coming out and saying we're going to be rebuilding and rebuild stronger, which is exactly what Miami did. And you have all these Miami codes. And I'm not I'm only a builder on TV. I play a chef in real life. But the thing of it is that you have these instances where these great stories come out. And I'll tell you guys another story. A woman who made it to Pine Island, which was completely cut off. It was only by boat you can get to it. And there's so much debris in the water. They were following her because she hadn't heard from her father in almost a week. And they actually followed her up to see her father for the first time in a week. And there's stories like this that tug on your heart. Yeah. But the same instance, this is survival, this is what we do, but yet on the same token, we are the first country in the world to go to the aid of others.
Correct.
You know, we're here as restaurant people because we need to make sure we feed people, because that's the only way we know how to heal. And what happens when you're sick?
You know what's strange? You know what's strange?
What?
Is, so I'm not a chef, right? However, I've got 30 years of food service, right? I've got 10 years in the restaurants and 20 years on the, you know, sales, distribution side with produce, right? And I've worked with thousands of chefs over 20 years. And I love you guys, but you guys are pricks.
Yes, we
right?
are. Yes.
And
100%.
100% pricks. I've been accosted by chefs. Like, I've gotten into fist fights with chefs. This is years ago, not now. Obviously, I'm old, whatever, but years ago. The point is, as big of a, as horrible of a person as somebody who lives in the kitchen, that pirate life, can be, the hearts are gigantic. And once you break through it, it's a whole, it's like a flower inside of a cave. You know what I mean?
Right.
And hibiscus flower, or
could be a hibiscus.
Or rose.
It should be hibiscus.
It should be hibiscus. Better,
yeah. What's the other? Yeah. What's the one the looks like a bird? The
birds of paradise.
Birds of paradise. It could be that.
Paradise.
Yeah. It could be that.
That's actually my favorite flower, but I don't want to, you know, tell everybody that.
Yeah, it's all right. It's everybody's okay. Gonna hear it now.
Birds, man.
She did.
She did. I have the picture.
Baby, you're already amazing.
Did you build
a boat? I don't got nothing else for you. You're amazing already.
They're endangered, right? If I'm not mistaken.
They were endangered species birds, okay?
Were they chicken hawks?
And there were 275 of these birds.
Oh, my gosh.
And my guy went out, and he was like, yeah, birds are creepy. Because these birds talk to you too, because some of them speak. And one of the birds pretty much told him to F off when he put the bird in the box.
Must have been a chef. That bird was a chef.
And I'm like, chicken hawk chef.
I joked. I said, this is like our like mascot for chefs. Like, we don't care that you're helping us. Just, you know, this is what, get out of my way.
I mean, Amy, and imagine.
It was hilarious.
Imagine you had like.
Foghorn leghorn.
Imagine you had 500 covers, right? You get three people down, and but you got your bird on your shoulder, and he's like, fuck off. You know, like it's, you know.
A little blue macaw. A little blue macaw on the left.
It's a party.
I told our partner, Brian, who did that rescue, I said, I know it was rough on you, but boy, that story made my day today. That is going to keep me going.
I got to give you another funny story. So since we're in the birth situation, I know this is going to be off topic, but I was driving yesterday, and I'm on my way here, you know, and I'm originally from New York. You know, coming from New York to Florida, you know, I see some crazy things in New York, but oh my gosh, does it beat Florida? I was literally driving on the highway, on my way to work, and I'm like looking, and I'm like, is that a bird like outside somebody's arm? And I couldn't believe it. This person had a cockatoo on their arm, and they were driving, and I got pictures to prove this. But I was like, am I gonna be that guy that when that bird hits my window, I have to hit the windshield wipers. Wow. And that bird's just slinging from side to side. Like,
what you don't know, he's got a gator on a leash too, right?
Oh,
like, there's
gosh.
A gator on a leash, like a dog. We got dogs here.
What
that
is going on with this?
Reptiles.
Like, no, better yet, he was actually thinking of a recipe that he could use.
I was saying, let's be honest, it's definitely going to be a sous vide cockatoo. Right. That's exactly what's going to happen.
Who needs a what? Poussin? Poussin?
Yeah, Poussin. Yeah, yeah, okay, fun.
A little confit.
Yeah.
No. Wow.
That was amazing. But I mean, you know, I feel very fortunate. Like, this is such a great opportunity for all of us and for you guys to speak out. You know, you guys are doing immaculate things. You know, for me being in the kitchen and, you know, seeing things, you know, it just makes me more prouder, you know, between you, Amy, and Jeffrey, to what the things you guys are actually doing. You know, and it's just, I'm really, really engaged and really love my culture of culinary even harder. Because, you know, like I said, nobody just stops in the kitchen, you know? And that's the best part. Nobody stops in the kitchen. Everybody speaks food, but not everybody loves the same. And when, you know, you think about it and you look at it at a peripheral and you say, my gosh, you know, look at us where we are today. When we first walked in the kitchen, You know, I was a dishwasher, man. You know, and it was just, it took a little bit of the banging and the noise in that brigade, like Amy was saying, for me to even say, you know what, I want to be part of that. And I never left it since. And it's almost like one big gang of family, you know? You know, so this is remarkable. It's so motivating. It's so endurance to the blood. You know, Amy, I can't even give you what you are, because there's no other word than what you are.
Saint.
God bless you for the things that you're doing, because, you know, people like you is the reason why people get to move on and keep growing in lifestyles. You know, and it's, I don't even know you, but I already love you. So I'm just saying.
And what we're doing is we're keeping that, like you said, butterfly effect going. Because for every person that we help, I mean, one of the families we helped in Afghanistan asked how they could write a check or send money to help people in Florida. And I almost broke down in tears. And I was like, they're still struggling, but this is what they wanted to do, because when you help a neighbor or a stranger, that it just keeps carrying on, and they're going to give back. So we're just keeping that circle going, and impacting people. What we're decisions we're making, the bottles of water we're giving right now, we may not really feel it, but who knows, 10 years from now, what we did today could have truly changed someone's life.
I think community in our, where we are in today's world, community, I think is the most important thing. I don't care what side of a political spectrum anybody, I think there's more people in the middle than there is on the fringes. And I believe that, you know, at this point, I feel like the masses of normal people need to start getting out there again and being normal. I feel like it needs to be something where, hey, you know what? Those people need help. I should help them. And, you know, when you do that, that's where that butterfly effect comes through. Correct. You know?
I think also part of the problem is that we've been so cooped up because of COVID. I mean, we've literally, our society, the world, has gone through a poop show. I mean, we closed down March 17th of 2020. We opened back up, and then we have all these social media aspects, and we have Karens and, you know, Kens coming out of the woodworks. And
you
especially,
can tell by the haircut,
right?
By
the way. Wow, there we go. But one of those things is that if people realized that, you know, the grand scheme of things, if we actually helped one another, if we actually took a second to help that homeless person out, true, and not judge that person, and look at people in a different limelight, I think this would be so much of a better world to be for us.
You know, let me tell you a quick story real fast. So, you know, I'm nobody in terms of, like, nobody knows me, whatever, right? And this is probably 10 years ago. I was compelled. One day out of nowhere, I was in a quiet place, and in my mind shot a image. I used to keep, I don't do it anymore, but I used to keep, like, you know, $50 in the glove box or whatever, right? And I had an image fast, boom, where I, in a split second, I saw the money, and I saw in my mind's eye, the some sort of a homeless person. And I was like, whoa, what is this? This is that. And I let it go. I forgot about it. I don't know, a week or two later, whenever, down the road later, I'm on the way home. It's traffic. This is South Florida. This is like 441. And like Griffin Road.
Oh, yeah.
Traffic. Yeah. Horrible.
Gotcha.
Terrible.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, ah. So I'm driving, and I'm this bumper to bumper, and I look to the left, and in the median is this homeless guy. And I really, and I'm a different person now, but I genuinely didn't appreciate these people. And I don't mean it to say like these people, but like I just, so I looked at him. Immediately, I remembered this thing that flashed in my eyes. And I was like, are you kidding? I have to give this guy the money in my glove box? Are you serious? I was mad. And by the time I realized what was going on, I was already past the light. It took me 15 minutes to turn around to go find that guy. Well, he walked himself into the gas station that's right over there on the corner. I was so upset. I got to tell you this. I was so mad I drove like aggressively at at him to give him money, right? I was compelled to do this. I can't say it another way. And he saw me coming, and he was nervous. And I was like, and I'm waving him down through the front window. I'm like, no, come here. I'm like, come over here. Come over here. I was pissed. I can't explain it a different way. So he comes over to the window, and he's like, what's up, man? Is you okay? I said, here. I didn't even look to see how much was there. It could have been $1,000. I don't know. I grabbed it, and I said, I'd never do this. Here, take this. And he's like, well, thank you. He's like, well, God bless. I said, you need to tell me, I have to ask, for my own edification, why are you like this? Now, this, I'm getting to a point. He's like, why are you like this? I said, he says, well, I'm a chef. I was a chef. And this is like, this is now he hit me right in the heart. He's like, I'm a chef. Drugs, alcohol, everything that we all know that happens in our industry, yeah. This cat went through.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
But then it gets saved.
Yeah.
Then it gets saved. You just never know, man.
I said to the, and you know what? Everything changed. I was just like, dude, wow. Eat. Please eat. I said, if nothing else, I don't care what you do with this, please eat something. The moral of this is, you know, we got to get out of our own eyeballs because, you know, the things that we judge people, we judge things, and there's a lot of too much judging. And we need to take that out of our eyes and just fucking, excuse me, just help people. I'm the one that said no cursing. So I said,
he's very passionate, ladies and gentlemen.
Just the truth.
He's very passionate.
Just help people.
Three chefs and the only guy that said something.
The non-chef.
Drops the F-bomb.
I am.
Ta-da.
God, but I did pretty good. It's been
I'm very proud of you.
It's been like 30 minutes. Yeah, I haven't done anything.
Yeah. Carl, I would tell you, you know, I teach this to my kids and, you know, I tell them, I say, you know, and that's a heartfelt story because you learn to give at your hardest moments, not your earliest moments. You learn to give at your hardest moments when you're suffering or you're feeling on the blue or you're feeling like somebody's not there to give. That's when you actually start giving. You don't wake up to say, oh, we're going to naturally give to somebody.
Or you have an instance like Chef Amy who somebody gave her.
It's almost like passing a baton of blessing.
Right. Yeah.
And then
you feel compelled
not realizing that you gave it to a person like Amy and she exploded it bigger than normal, you know, and that's an opportunity for, you know, anyone to say that we make chances, not just by choice, but almost by heartfelt decisions. And we should never do that. We should make our chances by the moment that we get at that moment. Straight off.
Well, I think a lot of times too, chefs in the industry have gone through some real deep, dark stuff.
I've lost friends. Yeah. I've lost friends, man.
Yeah.
I've lost friends that I grew up as a cook, worked their way up as chefs, won Michelins.
Yep.
And took their lives.
Yep.
It's crazy. Like people could only know what or how are the hours we live. You know, I'm going 2.5 weeks in working, bro. You know, and I'm same as you guys, nonstop, right? Yep. We are not 8 to 5 at all.
Well,
it's crazy.
It's funny because I actually reached out to Amy and being the mental health advocate I am, I actually said to her, I'm like, no, seriously, how are you doing?
Exactly.
You know, and that's, I think we need to do that a lot more with a lot of our chef friends. And now that you're part of my family, I'll be reaching out to you and saying, have you taken a day off yet? I'll come and work a shift for you. I don't care. And I think that's important.
Don't put it out there, bro.
Don't put it out there.
You'll be
well, no,
tonight.
I'm talking about him.
You're there tonight.
I can't. I have to go tonight.
I would love to go home right now.
I stubbed my toe.
Amy, he's doing an overnight.
But as chefs, we in that we're not listening to our bodies.
Correct.
Because we're putting so much wear and tear on our bodies. But our bodies know when we need a break. We're just not giving it.
Tell them, Carl. Tell them, Carl.
Hey, listen.
Tell them, Carl.
You don't have to tell me.
Tell them where you were the last couple of weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Hospital. Mm. It happens, Amy. It happens. You know what? We're still here, baby. Mm-hmm. We're still talking.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. I mean, during Hurricane Ian, when it was bearing down to the state of Florida, I was actually in New Hampshire.
Oh, my gosh.
Monday, I was at Harvard watching a presentation, and one of the best chefs, James Beard, award-winning chef, I watched him present and got back to my hotel room, and my flight was canceled, ironically enough, into Tampa. And that was a struggle. I mean, it was a trigger point. I have a 9-year-old daughter. I needed to be home for her. And it was, what am I going to do? It was completely out of my hands. And as a father and as somebody who you were relying upon air transportation, you're relying upon other people, and that's the biggest thing for sure. Mm. Holy crap, we lose control. Not like you with the F-bomb. You kind of refocused, and I woke up the next morning, and God, you know, thank God I was able to get out to be with my daughter. I mean, that was one of the biggest things is, if this thing hits Tampa and I'm not home, I'm not going to be able to live with myself for the rest of my life. And those are precursors, because you have to understand the balance of work-life balance. And I think then, as Amy pointed out, we don't find it. And we have to have that support group that says, hey, hold up, time out, Chef Jonathan. When's the last time you took a day off? Why are you in the hospital? You know, that kind of thing. Or whatever it might be that we can help others.
One of the pillars of what we're doing here on the show, on the Walk and Talk show, has from the beginning been to support and promote the industry. And it's, you know, obviously, listen, at the end of the day, chefs are like the fighter pilots, right? You guys are the, you know, flashy, you know. But it's not just about the chefs. It is about the, you know, Hobart cat, you know, the dishwasher, the servers. Of course. You know, everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
the farmer.
All. Let me tell you something. So real quick to kind of like talk about Marvin. Marvin's not a young guy.
Nope.
No, he's in his 60s. And this cat works 10 times, 15 times harder than I could even muster. And I work. This cat is like 9 o'clock at night. He's out on the farm, like fixing a pipe or something like that. It's like, how on earth are you even doing that? Like,
his quality shows. That's why I buy his product, because it means beautiful.
True story, and I appreciate
his
that.
His quality
true,
is beautiful.
Absolutely true story, man.
And I wouldn't buy it for anybody else, to be honest with you. Quava Club, I mean, they do an amazing, amazing job, man. And I've been using them in multiple restaurants.
And
I will never stop using them.
We got to do a tour. I got to bring you over there.
Oh, yeah. You definitely need.
Sure.
Definitely need.
Oh, in fact, well, wait a minute.
Actually, he'll just come out to the event.
Yeah.
We'll definitely be out.
Okay, wait a minute, because, you know, we're getting into the time here, because you have a restaurant to open here too, right? So what I do want to say is, let's talk about the dates real quick.
Yeah, so the dates between November 14th and November 20th, we're looking to do that whole restaurant week that we're going to, hopefully restaurants will kind of partner up with us and donate part of their proceeds for that week of their revenue generated, obviously. And not only that, I just got a call, Colonia at the Park, which is going to be in Sebring. A farmer is actually doing something down there, a farm-to-table dinner. I was asked to go ahead and collaborate with them, and I'm definitely going to be doing that on the 28th of October. $65 a head, so if somebody wants more information, they can actually reach out to Carl or reach out to myself. We'll connect.
What's
all your that.
What's an email or something?
Kingpin. Yes, the Kingpin.
Gangsta
Kingpin boogie. At baconcartel.com. It's when you run the Bacon Cartel, you have to be the Kingpin or something.
Wow.
So it's Kingpin Bacon at baconcartel.com.
Everybody's getting a pin. No, I'm sorry.
Wow. I do want to, Mr. Willie, can you put that 813 tequila graphic up on the screen, please?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to, you know, the sponsor for this hour is 813 Tequila, out of headquartered here in Clearwater, Florida. And they're just cool. Family-owned company, literally a small operation. You know, Daryl and Arturo, those are the owner, like really great people. They literally, like the little engine that could, they just got into, they came out during COVID and they just got into like Total Wines. It's a big deal. Yeah. And I'm trying to, you know, I want to help bring them into the food service.
Aren't they going to be doing like different zip codes for each state they
They were, but then, so long story short is it's going to be, as they expand national, it's going to be my tequila versus 813 or 407 or 305 or whatever.
So here's a small world. He doesn't know this, but the guy who actually was my real estate agent to buy my house, and he was looking for my site for my market, Frank, is very good friends and is a partner with them as well.
Really?
Yeah, honest to God.
No kidding.
Honest to God. As soon as you said 813, that's why I knew they were going to change each zip code or area code. So I thought that was funny.
We're probably not supposed to be giving out right now.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll tell you what. All right.
We definitely need a New York one.
You know, just...
We got to represent, man.
It's too confusing with Boca. It's 561 and 516.
And then you're going to get a 786 in there.
Yeah,
too. Like,
that's great.
That?
Then you got to get
that's our Respirado. That's Respirado. That's our Respirado.
Respirado, right?
Yeah, so whatever. So, look, at the end of the day, great product. And I think we're going to be bringing that in here, too, aren't we?
We are definitely going to bring it into Sally Mar.
That's great.
813 Tequila.
Yeah, that's we're awesome. Pushing it. So. We're helping the little guys.
I'll bring it to New Orleans when I come out there in July, Chef, so you can have some so you can enjoy it.
Perfect. Oh, I was thinking my restaurant guys might want some end of mission cocktails after this is over.
We're talking.
You're not lying. No jokes. No jokes aside.
Yeah, definitely. We need to do, those guys down there, and definitely hands down to Chef Jay down there at Mercy Chefs, too. I got to give him a shout out to them.
So, shout out, Mercy Chef.
Yeah, definitely. 26,000 meals daily.
Mercy me.
That's a lot.
They probably got bad ass knives over there.
Wow. All right. It's good. All right. So listen, we're going to wrap it up. Willie's going to, you know, throw on the outro music there. And Amy, you're wonderful. Yep. I sincerely can't wait to meet you in person.
Likewise.
And yeah, like, and I hope it, you know, with the event, I hope you're, are you going to be able to make it down here?
Probably not. She's probably coordinating. You have a place to stay at Casa de Schlissel, so you don't have to worry about a hotel. Or Jonathan can put you up here, so whatever. You got places to stay.
We'll figure something out real
quick
for you.
Yeah, definitely.
You just let me know and we'll make it happen. An attempt. We'll make it happen.
Awesome.
You got enough family here to put you up.
All right, terrific. When I put this out, obviously I'm going to put links for everybody's stuff in the description and everything. Jonathan, I'm going to say Chef times three. Amy Sins, Jeffrey Schlissel.
There you go.
See that?
I got it. Bravo.
Jonathan Rodriguez, Willie Bedix over there working the board, man. You're amazing, dude. I appreciate you a lot. I got to tell you that. Wow. Anybody, Amy, you have something to say on the, take us out, Amy.
All right. Well, if you want to see what we're doing, follow us at filltheneeds.org, at filltheneeds.org on social media. And our Facebook group is Rock and Roll, and you can see what's happening in the moment.
Perfect. I'll make sure that word gets out there. Have a wonderful day, guys. Thanks for having us, Chef Jonathan.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Sally Mar. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations, and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.